This message entitled Counsel for Faith's Journey, the main event, nothing less than a whole Bible, was delivered to Christ Our Rock Bible Church on July 7th, 2019 by the Reverend Roy D. Warren Jr. The scripture reference is 1 Corinthians 15, 1-7.
Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which you also are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Would you join me in prayer, please? Father, as we gather now our hearts before you once again, I think we are reminded of the many, many times that we have taken the time to see the various resurrection appearances, to understand why they took place, how they took place, the order of them, what was the reasoning behind it. Lord, help us, dear God, to see we're coming closer and closer, Lord, to the main event. Hallelujah. We want to thank you, dear God, this day that you have given yet another time for us to let these things come into our hearts, and let us, dear God, come into a very real understanding of what these things are supposed to be speaking into our spirits, Lord. So we give you all the glory. We exalt you. We lift you up, Lord, this day. We do need you, dear God, in order to really see this. It's just like the disciples found of old, dear God, that they could go ahead and hear that you were going to suffer and die and rise again. But until they met the risen Lord, it really didn't come together for them. And Lord, help us to see, dear God, how true that really is. Not how true it was, but how true it really is, even this day. So we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to meet the risen Lord in this time and place. We thank you and praise your holy name, dear God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. The community orchestra had been rehearsing for months on end for the big July 4th celebration. Finally, on the evening of July 3rd, the final rehearsal was being held. Right in the middle of that rehearsal, the celebrity guest conductor announced that a special award was to be presented to Mr. Isaac Schern, first trumpet, for the record of perfect attendance at all of the rehearsals. I know many of you have worked hard on this special concert, the conductor said, but no one has had a perfect attendance and worked so diligently as Mr. Schern. So let's hear it for his faithfulness. And with that, a deafening roar of applause echoed in the amphitheater for the popular trumpet player. Would you care to say a few words, the eminent conductor asked the faithful Mr. Schern. Oh, why, thank you, Schern stuttered. I thought my attendance was the least I could do, especially since I won't be able to be here for tomorrow's concert. Ah, yes. Faithfulness as misunderstood. I mean, why is it that so many think so little of the things of God? You look around and you know, people whizzing this way and that way and up and down and to and fro and everything else. And so little of it is for the Lord. So much of it is for themselves in one form or another, but so little of it is for the Lord. Something comes up and the things of God become nothing. Over these past several weeks, we've been looking at a lot of resurrection visits, appearances. And I want you to think about something before I go any further with this. It's one thing for the disciples to recognize their need to see Jesus, to see him as the risen Lord, in order to truly understand what's going on. But think about the commitment that Jesus had to stay those 40 days on this earth. I don't know if he made, a visit a day, a visit every other day, every third day, or whatever, I don't know. In some cases, maybe once a week. You mean we don't know, because the Bible doesn't say, well, the 5 minutes later this happened, and 2 hours later this happened, and so forth. So we don't know that. So Jesus made the commitment it was going to be 40 days, and that's exactly what he did. I wonder if it had something to do with the other 40-day periods of time that are talked about through the scripture. And if you think about it, you start to look them up, you'll see there are several. Okay? I wonder if the 40 days is in sync with all of that. But anyway, he's the one that made that commitment. It's up to them to want to see him. Do you hear me? That's what I say. I can't make anybody want to see him. I can encourage, I can tell you about it, I can go ahead and share with you the truth of God's word, and it's got to be a whole Bible, people. It's got to be the whole thing. It just can't be verses that you like, you know. It can't just be those, you know, it's a whole Bible. A.W. Tozer said one time, he says the whole Bible makes a whole Christian, you know. You can't just count on, you know, some verse flying at you from the internet somewhere, and you read that, then you think you've read the Bible every day. No. I mean, thank God for the things that come your way, but you know, you gotta want Jesus. Amen? I mean, we all do. Everybody does. These disciples needed to want Jesus. These other people needed to want Jesus. That's how they ended up seeing him. But now comes the main event, the concert itself, if I can use that terminology. The concert itself. If your finger is still at 1 Corinthians 15, let me take you through it once again. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Okay? Histeme, we stand. Stand against sin. By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have preached, or believed rather, in vain. Memory literally means to hold fast. To hold something steadfast, okay? To keep in memory, all right? But it says you're saved if you keep in memory, if you keep steadfast to the things that have been preached, the truth that has been given. That's if. You don't do that. You can't count on the other side of the if. I mean, let's just face it. Believers are not those who just merely say they have faith in Jesus Christ. Believers are those that have faith in Jesus Christ as he is revealed in the full message of the gospel. Amen? So we gather for that purpose. Their faith in Christ is always bound to God's word, and so is ours supposed to be, the doctrine of the apostles. For this reason, believers can be described as people who submit to the Christ of the Bible as their Lord and as their Savior, and who live under the word of God, not just promise verses. As good as that is, I remember through the years, recent years especially, before Cindy was in the nursing home, at night, just before we go to sleep, we'd read not just the promise verse from the calendar, you know, from the Times Square calendar, but the whole chapter. Because, you know, you need the whole Bible. A.W. Tozer said, you're only going to be a whole Christian if you're looking at the whole Word of God. Amen? All right? They submit without reservation to its authority. They hold firmly to its teaching. They trust in its promises. They heed its warnings, something a lot of people have a problem with. They heed its warnings and follow its commands. They are a people capable and captive to the Word of God, using the Scriptures to test all human ideas and accepting nothing that is contrary to the Bible. Praise the Lord. Back up to chapter 15 here. All right. For I delivered unto you also, verse 3, of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for your sins. There you go. Died for your sins according to the Scriptures, not according to what some so-called theologian said about it, but according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, right? And he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and I think it's important to recognize this. I think that being seen of the 12 is a reference to seeing the disciples together. Now, not all of them were there on the first Sunday, Easter Sunday, but then when all of the disciples that remained anyway were there, and Thomas was there, he saw him again. I think this is a compiling of that. I'll show you that in a minute. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. That is, some have died. So there are eyewitness people that have eyewitness accounts 20 years after Jesus suffered, died, and rose again. In 1 Corinthians 15, they're pointed to, and these people saw the risen Lord. So you're not going to get past those people. They know he was alive. Amen? Now watch. After that, he was seen of James. That's the brother of Jesus. We talked about that last week. Okay? Then of all the apostles. Now, wait a minute. That said that earlier, didn't it? You know, it said mentioned it a little bit earlier that he was seen of the 12, right? Okay, well, of all the apostles is now being mentioned again. You know what this is? This is the ascension. That's what this is. Oh, they were all up there up in Galilee to hear the Great Commission. But that's not what this is talking about. That was up in Galilee. This is at the end of everything. And after James and after the 500 and all that. And now this is a reference to, doesn't give much detail to it, but there's a reference here to the ascension itself. We mentioned James being one of the shortest accounts, and that's pretty short, right? That was pretty short. He was seen of James. There you go, five words. He was seen of James. And then Peter's mentioned too, all right? Says here that he was seen of Cephas. There's only a few words. And then it mentions the 12 again in verse 5. Okay? So these are very short accounts. When the two came back from the road to Emmaus, they were told, and Peter saw him too. So there's another account of Peter. Okay? But still, very, very short. All right? I think those are probably the two shortest. But now we come to one of the longest. And what do I mean by that? Well, not the longest in the sense of the two that were on the road to Emmaus. That went on for 25 verses. Okay? I'm not trying to outdo that. Then there were the seven on the beach, right? 23 verses, all in all. That's kind of a longer story, isn't it? But the longest in the sense of being mentioned numerous times is the ascension itself. Not just one big story, like the seven on the beach or the other 12. But now, or the two on the road to Emmaus, 25 verses. No, now this is, we start out very brief. He just saw the 12. That's all we're being told. He saw the 12. But let's take a look at the next reference to it. I want you to back up to Luke chapter 24, please. Okay, Luke chapter 24. We're going to take a look at it. There's another story about it. All right, Luke 24. Everybody there? Luke 24. I'll begin with the 46th verse. I should probably start a little bit earlier than that just to make my point. A little bit earlier than that, move up to verse 36. This is actually the reference to Easter Sunday night where the 10 disciples are gathered. Okay, going way back now. This is going back. And there's a mentioning here of this time when Jesus showed up and the things he said and the things he did. And then it says in verse 45, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Verse 46, and said unto them, so it sounds like what's being said now by Jesus is being said immediately following verses 44 and 45. And I'm not saying it isn't. I'm just trying to suggest that Jesus can say the same thing more than once if he wants to. You hear that now? Amen? He can if he wants to. Let's take a look at this. Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. See, he's saying it again. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. The very next verse says, and he led them out as far as to Bethany and lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. So that whole thing from 36 on sounds like it's happening at the same time. But it can't be at the same time in chronological order, that is, because there's lots of stuff that has to happen between Easter Sunday and the Ascension. Lots of stuff. Like all of the resurrection appearances. They all have to happen. Okay? So you've got to see this as a story that's been sucked up, so to speak, into a smaller unit to be able to say, he said this, he did that, and so forth. Okay? There's more stuff that have to happen between verse 36 and verse 50. There's a lot more stuff. Amen? Now, do you see what I'm saying? It's not that anybody's wrong. It's not that this is inaccurate. You know? If God wants to say these things, if Jesus wants to say these things, even more than once, he can do it. He could do it on Easter Sunday, and he could do it at the Ascension. You see what I'm saying? It's the next reference to this story that kind of spells it out a little bit. Okay? It feels, at this point, it feels almost blended. You know, like the joints of a dresser drawer, you know? What do they call those? Those mortise joints or something? You know, Jason? You know, where they go like this, you know what I'm talking about? Around the corner, and they're like that. You know, it feels like it's been blended. And that's okay. Jesus wants to do it that way. He can do it that way. You've got to understand that there's nothing wrong with the Bible. Amen? And we need the whole Bible to be whole Christians. So if he wants to put it this way and bring it together and blend it and not mention every little detail within it, that's up to him. After all, it is his story. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay. So it feels almost blended, but it has to be at least two separate times because one is Easter Sunday and the other is immediately prior to the ascension itself. Something he said on Easter Sunday might have been said again at the ascension. Look at verse 50 and following once again. He led them out as far as to Bethany. This is not the gathering up in Galilee that we heard about before where the Great Commission takes place. It's around Jerusalem, and Bethany is around Jerusalem too. And he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him, and they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And what? And were continually where? In the temple. Doing what? Praising and blessing God. And what do you say to that? Amen. You hear me? This is the main event. This is what everything has been leading up to. Now, there's more than that. You know that. You know there's a Pentecost yet to come. But I'm talking about the resurrection appearances. This is the main event. Let me share this thought on this word blessing. Because praising and blessing God. The blessing of God on the lives of his followers is essential. Concerning God's blessing, Scripture teaches several things. The word blessing is eulogia. Eulogia. We get the word eulogy from that word. A eulogy, as you know, are the words that somebody says nice about a person after they've passed away. Somewhere at the funeral, okay? You wouldn't choose somebody that's going to say all kinds of rotten things about somebody. Okay, these are going to be good words. That's what eulogy actually means. Okay? A divine gift causing our work to succeed. God's presence with us. God giving us strength and power and help. God working in and through us to produce good. In the Old Testament, words related to blessing, it occurs more than 400 times in the Old Testament. The first thing God did in relation to humanity was to bless them. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. God also sustains his work by his blessing. We see that in Ezekiel 34. The life and history of God's people are under the operation of blessing and cursing. And Deuteronomy 11 mentions that. In the New Testament now, the whole work of Christ can be summed up by the statement that God has sent him to bless you. Acts 3:26. We see his blessing given to children and to his followers during his departure from the earth. Blessing is likewise deeply involved in the ministry of the apostles. We read about that in Romans chapter 15. The blessing of God is conditional. A lot of people think, you know, hey, walk into the light, you know. I mean, you know, everybody goes there. Doesn't matter what kind of life they lived or anything. Just you can go ahead and just, you know, everybody makes it. Everybody gets there. Everybody goes to heaven. And that's not what the Bible says. There's blessing and there's curse. And you choose which one you want, really. There's blessing by obedience and there's cursing by disobedience. How do we receive the Lord's blessing? Three things are required. Number one, we must always look to Jesus for his blessing. upon our ministries, our work, our lives, our families. We must believe in, love, obey Him. That's the second thing. Third thing, we must remove everything from our lives that would hinder the blessing. Everything that would put up a stone wall or a... picture of that, I suppose. Oh, hitting a speed bump at a good high speed. God's blessing may not be equated with personal material gain or the presence of suffering in our lives. It can go whatever way God wants it to go. It's His blessing. Amen? Praise God. Luke gives us that in his gospel, okay? We already saw that. And he also spells out the story in the book of Acts, which he also wrote. All right? And for that, just flip on over to Acts chapter 1 and let me show you what I'm talking about. And I'm going to start at the beginning of the chapter just to pull it together. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. So the Gospel of Luke was set forth to show what Jesus began to do and teach. The book of Acts is now going to show us what all he could continue to do. And not only back 2,000 years ago, but currently today. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Okay? Being seen of them 40 days. Now, what I'm trying to say is that's the mercy of God. There was no law written down anywhere that he had to do 40 days. He could have easily said, I can do it in a week. You know, no, 40 days had every intention of making himself very clear about this and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom, to the rule, to the reign of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them, here we go, that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. I've told you about it already. Verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. He's trying to make it clear it's coming up. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him. So there they are, the disciples and Jesus. And they said, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And Jesus says unto them, he says, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, while they watched him, he was taken up, lambano, taken up with force. I've told you many times before, you can't believe everything you see in a movie. A movie will show his feet just drifting off the earth now, just drifting. And he goes up ever so slowly. I doubt it. The Bible uses the word lambano. It means to take and to do so forcibly. The way I picture it in my own mind is that God is just so tired. Well, tired is not the word because God doesn't get tired. But God is just so wanting Jesus to be back up in heaven with him that he literally grabs him and hoists him up. I mean, that's how I see it. That's what lambano says. Okay? You got to look at the, you know, what the, you need a whole Bible, people, to be a whole Christian. Amen? And it makes it clear God wanted him up there. And he wanted him up there now. Amen? And a cloud received him out of their sight. Now watch. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Guess who? Amen? Steadfastly. It was J.B. Stoney who once said, "No one can say he is steadfast unless he has the church for his whole interest." Nobody can even start to talk about being steadfast unless he has the church for his whole interest. And by the church, he's talking about the body of Christ, which is attached to the head of Christ, which is Jesus. Amen. The head of the church. Praise the Lord. So it's, you know, buy one, get one, so to speak, I guess you could say. So now there's these two guys dressed in white. "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." They returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet. See, this is not taking place in Galilee. This is at the Mount of Olives, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went, watch this, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, okay, and Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. So at least we know the brothers of Jesus are there, and I like to think that the sisters were there as well. They might be included in that word, brethren. Steadfast. Remember the guy who was being praised for all of his attendance at the rehearsals? "I thought my attendance at all these rehearsals was the least that I could do, especially since I won't be able to be at the main event." Quite honestly, it was the least he could do. He chose to do the least possible instead of everything. The ascension. What a glorious thing. Everything was aimed towards it. Everything was directed to it. Praise God. It's going to take a whole word of God to get there. We saw this story in 1 Corinthians. We saw this story in Luke chapter 24. We saw this story in Acts chapter 1. It takes a whole Bible. Amen? A.W. Tozer, he put it this way. He said, "The word of God, well understood and obeyed, is the shortest route to spiritual perfection. And we must not select a few favorite passages to the exclusion of others. Nothing less than a whole Bible can make a whole Christian. Why do some persons find God in a way that others do not? He has no favorites in his household. The difference lies not with God, but with us." I mean, God's given everything. Now, how much do we want it? How much do we give to him of who we are? Amen? I mean, that's really some of the questions this all boils down to. We better not try to ever blame God for where we are, you know? It's not my fault that I'm not as close to God as so-and-so is. It isn't? It's not God's fault. I wonder whose fault it is. He has given the whole Bible. Listen, you don't feel down about this. This is good news. This is saying you can have everything God gave. Amen? You have to want it, though. Like I said, I can't make anybody want it. I can't make you want it. Amen? And you're here. It's up to us to use the whole thing. Amen? Don't just pick, you know, Psalm 23 and skip Psalm 24. You know? It's the whole Bible. That's why I encourage you every year to get into a plan and read through the whole Bible. 4 chapters a day is all it is. I got one last illustration I want to give you. This is from Rob Morgan again. He tells a story. He says, Dr. Calvin Miller tells of a friend with whom he once attended seminary. This man later abandoned his faith and became an atheistic professor of philosophy in a city where Miller pastored. One day, after visiting a dying woman in the hospital, Miller met his friend for tea. As the men talked, Miller asked his friend how he, as an atheist, would have spoken to this needy, dying woman. The professor said he would probably have told her that she must count on the love of Jesus and look to him for hope. But Calvin Miller protested. He said, but you don't believe that. You're saying that's what you would have given her? But you don't believe that. No, he said, I don't believe that. But what I believe would have been no help to her in her time of need. There's something wrong with a philosophy that fails at life's most critical moments. There's something very wrong. Job's friends certainly believed in God, but their theology was absolutely inadequate, and their understanding of God was absolutely faulty. As a result, their counsel was of little help to Job's time of need. I mean, it's not that they didn't say some true things. Now, they did say some false things too. But it's not that they didn't say some true things. But it wasn't for his situation. You know, that's why I try not to laugh and I try not to snicker. But, you know, that's why I, you know, wonder what people think they're doing when, you know, pastors, they go on some website, they order up a couple dozen sermons, and they're sent to them, and then they go ahead and preach whatever the website sent them. That's not hearing from God. That's not giving the people what they need at the time for their purposes, for their lives. As a result, their counsel was of little help in Job's time of need. If you want to help others, he goes on to say, internalize the Bible and ask God to convert it into the hidden wisdom of the heart. Memorize. This is something I find very hard to do, so it's hard for me to even say. Memorize. Boy, there were times I could memorize a whole chapter, and you know, but if you don't, you know, say it over and over again, you know, after a couple of weeks, you forget it. But if you're constantly in the Word of God and you're trying to do some memorization and so forth, it's not to show off. It's not to pound somebody over the head with something you know. It's to give them a word of encouragement. You don't memorize helpful Bible verses and then shoot at people like darts with it, but as a reservoir of wisdom from which to dispense cupfuls of grace. Never be afraid to gently quote a passage from God's word as the Spirit prompts you. Be alert for such opportunities, and you'll be a worthwhile physician and counselor of encouragement. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. It's like A.W. Tozer said, You need the whole Bible to be a whole Christian. Some people don't want to hear some of the Bible because it reminds them they're not in the right place with God. But we need the whole Bible. Amen. Every word of it in order to be that close to God. And that's what comes of the main event. Amen. Jesus is gone. But what happens? Just days later, Jesus and the Father sent down the Holy Spirit so the Holy Spirit could live within His people. Amen? An internal spirit. An enduring, internalized spirit that lives within God's people and can thereby not just encourage, but empower. Empower the word for someone else's hearing. Amen? For our hearing and for their hearing. It's all important. It's all crucial. Amen? Nothing less than everything God has given. And there should be nothing less of us. The whole of us should be given to what He calls us to. And that's going to be giving people the truth. In whatever form it comes, in a conversation, in a situation you find yourself in, written, oral, whatever. However God leads it. Amen? People need to know that they really do need Jesus, whether they want to hear it or not. Because quite frankly, a lot of people don't want to hear it. So they make sure they're not in a place where they don't hear it. What a merciful God we have. Takes us through 40 days to an ascension. To an ascension. To an ascension. So that He can do what? Send down. Amen? The Holy Spirit to live within us, to empower us to live for God. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's the main event. Amen? That's what it comes down to. Now, even with that, we are not quite done. Well, we are for today. But next week, we're going to go a little further. All right? You'll see what I'm talking about then. Glory be to God. Amen? All right. Praise God. Would you join me in prayer? Father, I want to thank You, Lord, for Your heart today, Your truth, Your holy word, dear God. Help us to know that not only we need it, but everybody else needs it. And it's our responsibility to give it to them. And we thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. We love You because You loved us. We need You. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God.